Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
And welcome back, everybody, for the second hour of the Political Cesspool Radio Show. As you can probably tell, I am not James Edwards. I am Bill Rowland, hauling the moonshine for James Edwards this evening. And the first hour, of course, as usual, Keith Alexander joined us with his outstanding, sparkling commentary about various topics. And, of course, if you missed that, you really missed a great conversation between Keith and I. But now, our guest for the evening is Brother Nathaniel Kapner, one of my favorite guests. I love having him on. He is an Orthodox priest. He is a street evangelist and raised as a Jew. But he has different views now that he's embraced Jesus Christ. And so when you listen to Brother Nathaniel Kapner, you're not only getting evangelism, you're also getting the inside look at a background most of us don't know about, especially Christians. Brother Nathaniel, are you on the line?
I'm here, but I could barely hear you.
Okay, well, I'll speak a little louder. We've had a couple of technical glitches tonight, and so we're working on those. But it's good to have you on the show, as always, and welcome back. I understand you were out of town, on a mission in another city, other than where you lived in Colorado.
Yes, I just got back from Boston, a three-day street evangelism trip to Boston, which looked more like Zimbabwe, Malaysia, Somalia, than the Boston I used to know years ago.
Well, that's taking place all over the country, Brother Nathaniel. It's everywhere. It is the growing, the towering Tower of Babel that's being created in this country by our political system and our failure, I think, to maintain our Christian heritage.
It was started by the Jews. The 1965 open immigration law, Jacob Javits was the main sponsor. He announced with great glee upon the passing of the bill, open the floodgates. And the flood of multiculturalism, multiracialism, and multicreedalism has destroyed white Christian America. The Jews did it.
It's interesting you should talk about white Christian America, and I want to get into this topic pretty deeply. But let me ask you, how did your mission go in Boston? What was the reception you were getting from people who would stop and listen to you, that could understand English, that is?
Well, the biggest response was from the disappearing Irish Catholic in Boston, the working class. The Irish Catholic working class, it's disappearing. Again, I kept on asking myself, I can't be in Boston, I must be in Somalia. So that response from the traditional white Christian was tremendous. They just love Brother Nathaniel. I've been there many years. I mean, I've been there many times. This is probably maybe my 12th time in 5 years that I've been to Boston, maybe more. Every time I go, it just gets worse as far as the multiculturalism. It was also the high holy days for the Jews, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, and I'd gotten many conversations with Jews. Some of them were good, where I was able to share Jesus Christ with them, and I always tell them that the mission of the Messiah was to conquer death, and that gives them pause. They start listening, but they always end up saying, well, You're a Jew, and you got to come back to the fold. And I say, well, what's it have to do with what I'm presenting to you? I'm presenting to you the truth of Jesus the Messiah. And they always get back to their tribalism.
As you have said before, Judaism is a religion of death. Explain it to some degree why that is so, because obviously the public face that Gentiles get of Judaism is this warm, rich religion that dates back to Moses, and that there, you know, that God is the same God that we worship, and that actually the Jews are the fathers of Christianity, this kind of thing. Why is it a religion of death?
It's a religion of death because they they elevate their blood. They elevate their race and the perpetuation of their race, and that's what gives them a sense of perpetuity. Every Jewish parent sees the perpetuation of his name through his children. They don't really believe in some kind of afterlife to gain or a hell to shun. They see their eternity through the tribe and through the perpetuation of the tribe. Well, this is a religion of death because all tribal members die. And I sensed this as a child. And I was looking for a real heaven to attain to. And I wasn't taught it. And I was brought up in a conservative Judaic realm. And I kept on saying to myself, this is a religion of death. It's bankrupt. It's empty. It's a religion of death.
There have been stories in the press lately, the broadcast media particularly, about, of course, you know all about the big hubbub and the big noise about this church in Florida that was going to burn the Quran. But in fact, in Israel, New Testaments have been burned. They've been taken away from Messianic Jews or Christians in Israel and are being burned and destroyed by the Israeli army. Why is there such hostility towards Christianity in Israel when obviously it's got to be small and fairly unnoticeable in the daily life of Israel or Jerusalem, and yet there seems to be this outpouring of hatred towards Jesus Christ and Christianity in Israel at this time?
The hate stems from fear. They're scared to death of the name of Jesus Christ. They're scared to death of the New Testament, because the New Testament bears witness that the Jews crucified God. They committed deicide. The Jews want to burn every New Testament that ever existed, and it still exists. They want to wipe out the true history of their rejection of the true Messiah and their commission of deicide. Abraham Foxman of the Anti-Defamation League wants to label the New Testament as a book of hate. And he wants to cut all the passages that have to do with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious leaders crucifying Christ and calling for Barabbas, a murderer and a thief, instead of the beautiful person, God, Jesus Christ. That's why. It's out of fear. They're scared to death of it. They want to wipe out the name of Jesus Christ from the face of the earth, and that's why they started the phrase Happy Holidays and Season's Greetings, because they don't want to hear Merry Christmas. They want to annihilate the name of Jesus Christ.
So in Israel,
and they've done a pretty good job doing it.
And so in Israel, when Christians are on the street or are maybe carrying a New Testament, then this fear just pours out against these people just for praying or just for the idea that their
don't
presence.
Go away.
So
the political cesspool guys, we'll be back right after these messages.
Don't let me be misunderstood,
baby.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Please don't understand me, baby.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Don't misunderstand.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
And once again, you are here with Bill Rowland, not James Edwards. And with Bill Rowland, my guest, Brother Nathaniel Kapner, Orthodox priest, street evangelist, and we were discussing the hatred of Christianity by Jews, and right now in Israel, the burning of New Testaments and the destruction of New Testaments, actually by members of the Israeli army. Brother Nathaniel, when you're doing your street evangelism, and you are approached by, let's say, a Jew, and the discussion begins, does he recognize that you're Jewish?
Is there, yeah.
Is there a connection there?
We spot each other a mile away just by the way we walk.
really? Is that?
Oh yeah. Well, I can spot them. They spot me. Yeah, they come up to me and they say, "Okay, what are you doing?" You know, they're trying to make me feel guilty. All right, what are you doing? You know, the drama effect. I said, "What do you mean? What am I doing?" Now, come on. You're a Jew. You're a Jewish boy. You're a Yiddish boy. You got Yiddishkeit. And they start, you know, throwing out some Jewish words. Put the cross away. Come back to your people. That's the basic line. All right. Then I answer, well, why should I come back to my people when my people, quote unquote, have rejected their Jewish Messiah? What are you talking about? Jesus Christ is an imposter. No, let's go back to the Old Testament and let's see what the role of the Messiah was to be. He was to conquer death. And then I quote some passages and I throw in a little Hebrew, so I'll give it a little credibility that I know what I'm talking about. And then it always gets back to, you got to come back to the flock. I said, what's it have to do with whether Jesus Christ is the Jewish Messiah or not? That's what we're talking about. So it always comes back to the tribalism, and this is their God. Their God is their racial entity. And Jews are a very compact racial entity that really has taken charge and taken control of American life in every sphere of Americana. If you want to call it Americana anymore, which you really can't, American culture, white Christian culture, has been obliterated. Jews made sure of that with the open immigration law of 1965, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show. That is the watershed that has changed the complexion of America and has changed our political life as well.
You know, it's a shame, Brother Nathaniel, that you were not with us in the first hour, because we discussed some of the changes that are taking place in mainstream Christian churches, particularly the effort to embrace this multiculturalism and this, reaching out to other communities. There's a church here in Memphis that has allowed Muslims in during Ramadan to say their prayers until their mosque is built, and things like this are, of course, make many Christians just cringe, because what are we doing? You know, this is the house of the Lord Jesus Christ and not a mosque. Or, you know, outreaches to Jews particularly on the Israel issue and supporting Israel. And then, you know, building bridges into urban communities, this kind of thing. But it's building a Tower of Babel. It's building these white churches are disemboweling themselves for the sake of another false god, the false god of multiculturalism, the false god of all of the politically correct cliches that we've learned over the years.
Yeah.
But you chose the Orthodox Church, I think the Russian Orthodox Church. What appealed to you about the Russian Orthodox Church?
Okay, for one thing, every Russian Orthodox Christian knows all about the Jews. The Jews murdered 50 million Orthodox Christians during the Bolshevik Revolution, because the Jews were the leaders of Cheka, the Secret Service of the Bolshevik Revolution, and they were the main leaders of the Bolshevik Revolution. All Russian Orthodox Christians got the Jews' number. And I have many supporters that come to my site, Real Zionist News, who are Russian Orthodox priests and Russian Orthodox parishioners, and they love what Brother Nathaniel is doing. Two, it's the Russian Orthodox Church that has as its political head Vladimir Putin and Dmitry Medvedev. There has always been in Orthodox history what's known as the symphony between church and state, that the emperor or now a leader is the protector of the Orthodox Church and does everything he can to advance the purposes of the Orthodox Church. And you have that in two very devout, pious men, Vladimir Putin and Dmitry Medvedev. You wouldn't know that by how the Jews portray them in the Western press, because the Jews own the media. They demonize Putin. And they try to play Medvedev off against Putin, which is a joke, which is, I laugh. Those men are very tied together. And Medvedev really doesn't make a move without Putin telling him what to do, because Putin is in charge. And that has always been the case in Orthodox history, especially in Russia. It's always been an autocracy. Democracy does not work, because democracy is awarded to the highest bidder, and the highest bidder are Jews with their billions of dollars. So you have an autocracy, and you have a pious, religious, orthodox autocracy in Russia, and that's the way we like it, and that's the way we want it to be.
Was that the reason that the Tsar was murdered in 1918? Because the leaders of the Bolshevik Revolution, Lenin and Trotsky and the rest, realized that as long as he lived, that people would recognize him as the Christian monarch.
He was the last bulwark against democracy. You see, the international bankers make sure they destroy the monarchy through World War One. That was their plan, and they did. And the monarchy came to an end at World War One, and there was only one last holdout preventing the full takeover of the Western world by Jews through their democracy, quote-unquote, all right, which is their bribing and blackmailing of political figures. Because in the democracy, the Jews take over. It's a Jewocracy. It's not a democracy. Then they had to destroy the Tsar, and they did. But now Putin has come back in the tradition of the Tsar. They're scared to death of him. Just scared to death of him. You see, the man took over all the television stations and all the press in America and in Russia. He took it over. And they were all owned by Jews. And when he took it over, he stopped programs like The Simpsons. He stopped programs like South Park. He stopped all the Jew programs. He got rid of all the casinos. He won't allow the gay parades. And he put in the public schools Orthodoxy 101. All the Jews got together, all the scientists, the atheists, says, you can't do it because we have a constitution, separation of church and state, and Putin is a very clever man. He said, this is our history. It's going to stay.
Well, Brother Nathaniel, we'll be coming up on a break here in a minute, and of course, we want to keep you over for, to the next segment. And when we do, we're going to be talking about some of the ways that the Judaism or Jews have entered into areas where they really, you would think you wouldn't find any sort of religious expression, but they're able to get around that, whereas Christians and others are not. So, you know, when we come back again,
are you going to be talking? We can talk about the Kosher Nostra scam.
Exactly. Thumbs up on that. That's exactly what we're going to be talking about. And a particular aspect of that I don't think has ever been covered publicly before, and we will get to that as well. But once again, if you're tuning in, this is Bill Rowland covering for James Edwards on the Political Cesspool, and my guest is Brother Nathaniel Kapner, and I believe we've got Blake coming up any second now. But stay with us, because we will be returning shortly. Well, I guess we're still on. But anyway,
okay.
Also, remember
let's
to
go. Let's
let me,
do it.
We're going to let me plug James's book real quick. Remember to visit our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. And here comes the break.
Don't go away, the Political Cesspool guys. We'll be back right after these messages. Get on the show and express your opinion in the Political Cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
And welcome back to the show, everybody. This is Bill Rowland sitting in for James Edwards tonight on the Political Cesspool Radio Show. And my guest tonight for this hour is Brother Nathaniel Kapner, street evangelist, Orthodox priest, raised in a Jewish household, but embraced Jesus Christ and is now one of his most vocal supporters that I know of. And Brother Nathaniel, we were talking in the previous segment about particularly the hostility in Israel and hostility among Jews towards Jesus Christ. And, you know, we did a little discussion on the Russian Orthodox Church, some fascinating information there. But before we get any further, give out the information on your ministry and on your foundation, and let the people know what you're doing.
Yes, my website, after 3 years, has close to 4.5 million hits. It's called Real Zionist News, and the whole purpose, through pictures and text, is to expose the Jewish agenda to destroy white Christian culture in the Western world. And I have various articles that I've done, over 500 articles, dealing with every angle of Jewish conquest over white Christian culture. Now, in the last 2 months, I started doing videos, and I just uploaded my 15th or 16th video, called Conquest Through Immigration, where I deal with this multicultural, multiracial, multicreedalism that the Jews have flooded America with since the open immigration law of 1965, which we talked about at the opening of the program. Then I also started recently the Brother Nathaniel Foundation, which is dedicated to bringing Christian symbols back into the public square and to move into every realm that the Jews have taken over, the political, the legal, the intellectual, the cultural realm, and try to counter what the Jews are doing with a Christian impetus. That's the Brother Nathaniel Foundation.
Well, Brother Nathaniel, you've certainly done a lot of hard work, and you certainly stay busy. You're not one who ever withdraws from the scene and then reappears. You're always out there. But one thing, I've noticed, and correct me if I'm wrong, but the reference to Gentile, is when Jews refer to Gentiles, are they referring to all non-Jews, or is it just white Christians?
No. In general, they refer to non-Jews, but they specify. When a Jew is behind closed doors with other Jews, then the white Gentiles, the white Christians, are the goyim. And it's a derogatory term for the white Gentile in America, that they're basically stupid and can be stepped on and can be controlled. They're the goyim. Then they look upon blacks. They don't call them goyim. They don't really call them Gentiles. Of course, they're non-Jews. They call them shooks or schwarzes. Then they look upon the Arabs, the Palestinians, and they just call them Arabs, or they'll call them Muslims, and again, derogatory, condescending, and basically anyone who's not a Jew can be treated like cattle. And this is inculcated to the Jewish child through the Talmudic teachings that Jews are the master race and the rest are just cattle. A Gentile woman, a white Gentile woman, is called not a goy. It's really, that's what usually what the men are called, what they call the Gentile men. A white Gentile woman is called a shiksa. A shiksa is a Hebrew word, comes from a Hebrew word shegetz, which means unclean animal. I grew up with this. I didn't like it as a child, because I saw we were in a white Christian America. I liked the white Christian America. I saw the white Christians as being more normal, more stable, more wholesome than Jews, who are basically neurotics. That's why they all go into the psychiatric field, to try to get their own head screwed on. And I didn't like this derogatory, condescending attitude towards the Gentiles. And that was another reason why eventually I left Judaism. Not only because I saw it as a religion of death, I saw it as a racist religion that was bigoted, and I didn't like it.
Well, we had, at the break, we were talking about some of the, one of the things that most people, I guess, particularly Gentiles and non-Jews, don't pay much attention to, is the kosher seal of approval that's put on so many products in this country. Now, clearly, there are not any little Christian symbols or little Muslim symbols on most products in this country that say, we approve of Christianity, or we recognize that Christianity is a part of our customer base. But the little Jewish symbol is on so many things. What is the history of...
Okay, first of all, it's the Jewification of America. and it's to put the Jewification seal into everyone's stomach. It's actually the forerunner of the Mark of the Beast.
The forerunner of the Mark of the Beast?
Oh, yes, no question about it, because that seal is on just about everything you eat. ConAgra has to do it. It's on Kraft Foods. It's on Heinz Foods. It's on General Foods. It's on Kellogg's Foods. It's on Nestle Foods. That kosher mark, it's the Mark of the Beast. It's a precursor of the Mark of the Beast, and it's now in your stomach, that seal. It's dangerous, but it's impossible to avoid, because it's a, like we mentioned before the break, it's the Kosher Nostra scam. And it begins with a group of Orthodox rabbis. That U symbol that you see on most food products stands for the Union of Orthodox Jewish Congregations. Now what you have the Orthodox Rabbinic Council. They approach a company, but this has happened many years ago because most companies have succumbed to this blackmail, and they basically warn the owners that unless their products are certified as kosher, that is fit for a Jew to eat, they'll face a boycott from every Jew in America. Now, they succumb to this blackmail because of fear that the Jewish-dominated media, I shouldn't say Jewish-dominated, Jewish-owned press and media, because they own it all, will work with their synagogue buddies to bring something up about the company that could hurt them. They'll dig something up, or they'll give them bad press. And no company wants to deal with the Jewish-owned media that owns ABC, CBS, NBC, all the newspapers, Newsweek, Time. They own it all. So they succumb to this blackmail, and they have to pay a yearly annual certification fee to the rabbis of the Union of Orthodox Jewish Congregations. But they'll pay that not worrying, because they pass on the expense and the cost to us, the consumer. It's a pure scam. And Gentiles ought to protest and say, we're going to boycott your foods unless you take that kosher symbol off. But that's never going to happen, because basically most Americans are in a stupor. They're watching their football games presented to them by the Jews, because Jews don't watch TV. Believe me, they don't. We are in our room studying, or our fathers and parents were involved in business. Jews don't watch TV, but they've got all the Gentiles watching the football games and the videos, the blockbuster videos, which is also owned by Jews. They're in a stupor. But I think more and more Americans are waking up with the Tea Party movement, and, you know, with the Internet, and with the economy going down, whites are starting to look around and see, well, who's making all the money? And they're seeing the Jews are.
Well, Brother Nathaniel, how much would it cost to have that little tiny badge or symbol put on a product so that it is certified, as you say? What would be an example of what kind of cost that would be per year to a company like Kraft?
It could be in the hundreds of thousands, Bill. I'm not sure. Okay, that's something we can all, you know, do research on. I'm really not sure, but believe me, they're making a ton of money from this. And that certification tax, if you want to call it, fee, is passed on to the consumer. So you take a pack of cheese, okay, Kraft cheese. It has that U symbol on it.
Right.
And how much that cost at the store? It cost $4.25. I'm willing to bet that price could go down to $3.25 without that certification fee.
Coming up on a break, we'll pick it up on the other side.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We gotta get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do, we gotta get out of this place. Girl, there's a better life. If I didn't tell her, I didn't.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll free, at 1-866-986-7777. 6397. And here's the host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Bill Rowland again, covering for James Edwards tonight, and my guest is Brother Nathaniel Kavner. We've had, the time has flown by, absolutely flown by with Brother Nathaniel on. And Brother Nathaniel, once again, real quick, give your website address so that people can check out your articles. You've got 500 articles there in archives.
Yes. Come on. Just do a Google, Real Jew News. Real Zionist News, they're both the same. And you'll come to my site and check out the videos I'm doing, check out the articles with lots of pictures, and I show who the Jews are that have taken charge and taken control of America and are not concerned about America's interests, they're only concerned about Zionist Jewish interests first, not America's interests. And we know that with the Jewish lobbies, that they're only concerned about how we can bleed our country dry, the working people dry, with their hard-earned tax money, and send it over to Israel.
Now, Brother Nathaniel, this topic, we were talking about the Jewish kosher symbols that are put on.
There's two symbols. It's the U symbol that you see and the K symbol. And what that means is you are putting in your stomach the seal of the Antichrist. It's the precursor of the mark of the beast. And if you can avoid the kosher symbol, it's pretty hard, because all of these major food companies, Kraft, Heinz, General Foods, Kellogg's, have to come to rabbinic blackmail that they better certify their foods as kosher, or else they're going to get a boycott, and the Jewish-owned media is also going to give bad press to these food companies that don't comply, and they all comply. They have to pay a kosher certification fee, and they have to pay a rabbi every time he's there on the premises to make sure that everything is kosher oriented.
Well, now, Brother Nathaniel, there's an issue here that I think is very important.
And that cost is passed on to us. A pack of Kraft cheese that goes at $4.25 could easily go at $3.25.
Wow. Well, here's something I think is important for people to think about. Right now, if a child wants to go to school, a public school, a government school, and say a prayer in that school, that child won't be allowed to do that. If a Muslim wants to go to a school and wear, some symbol of Islam, that in all likelihood is not going to be allowed. And certainly Bibles and other, the crucifix or other symbols of Christianity are strictly prohibited in public schools. And yet, through the back door, these kosher foods are going into public schools. Am I right?
Yeah, it's the same thing, that the public schools succumb to the blackmail, or else they're going to have to deal with some kind of Jewish boycott or some Jewish indignation that they're anti-Semitic, and they could get a bad press, and they can get pressured from various Jewish lobbies, and they don't want to deal with it either. It's the same thing with the towns. If the town wants to put up a Merry Christmas sign, and they get one little note from the Anti-Defamation League or the American Civil Liberties Union, which is run by Jews, it's basically run by George Soros, then they take that Christmas sign down immediately. They're scared to death that they're going to be involved in a lawsuit that they cannot afford to defend themselves with against billions of Jewish money.
Where's the ACLU, though, to demand that this kosher food be taken out of the schools? The schools indirectly are paying that kosher tax when they buy the food.
The ACLU is not going to get involved in anything that deals with Jewish interests. You see, you have every year in the White House lawn, the South Lawn, a Hanukkah menorah. Now, if that was a nativity scene, the American Civil Liberties Union would be yelling, "Separation of church and state," which is a Jewish lie, because the original intent of separation of church and state was a letter that Thomas Jefferson wrote to the Danbury Baptists, who were concerned about the constitutional establishment cause. And Jefferson wrote back, said, "Don't worry, it's only to prevent the state from interfering with your public expression of Christianity." You see, but the Jews turned that all around. Now, where is the American Civil Liberties Union saying, hey, you can't have that Hanukkah menorah on the White House lawn. You can't have Rahm Emanuel, a Jew, or Michael McCarthy, the former attorney general. You can't have them lighting it because they're state officials. We have separation of church and state. Where's the American Civil Liberties Union there, Bill? Not a peep out of them, because this is a Jew. This is to the Jews' advantage. And the ACLU is run by Jews. But if it was a Christian symbol, the ACLU would be all over it. That's why they're not saying about the kosher symbol, because this is a Jewish interest.
You know, Brother Nathaniel, when you were talking about Russia, I noticed I've seen a couple of news clips where, Putin actually comes before a Russian Orthodox priest, goes down on one knee, and kisses his ring. The same with Medvedev, the same thing.
Yes, well, this is the Orthodox way. We honor our priests. Because they're the ones who are at the altar preparing for the Holy Communion. We have a deep respect for our priests, and Putin certainly does. And this is what's called the symphony between church and state, which has always been part of Byzantine history. Now, the Byzantine Orthodox Empire lasted from the year 325 until 1425, okay? That's a broad breadth of history. Now, in the public schools, the children taught Byzantine Empire history, we didn't even know it existed. Because it was Christian. And the Jews run our educational system too. They run everything in America. It's got to stop. And the Brother Nathaniel Foundation is dedicated to stopping it. It's a formidable task. It's almost an impossible task. They've taken over America in every realm, including what goes into our stomachs, as we're talking about the Kosher Nostra scam. It's a horror. Wake up, America. Wake up. The Jews have taken over your nation.
Well, Brother Nathaniel, what do you say?
And it burns me up because it's essentially anti-Christ. It's anti-Christian because the Jews rejected the most beautiful person who ever walked this earth, God who became man. They rejected it. They crucified him, and they're still crucifying him today, and they're crucifying everything that's beautiful, everything that's free, everything that's righteous. They're still crucifying Jesus Christ.
Brother Nathaniel, what would you say? What would be your message to evangelical Christians, Gentile Christians, who are absolutely blind and dedicated in their support of Israel and their belief that Israel is the Holy Land and that Israel has yet a dispensational relationship and covenantal relationship with God? What is your message to them?
Okay, you have to re-educate these people. You have to show them from the Bible that the Israel of God are not the Jews. They've always been the church. And this is what St. Paul states in his epistle to the Romans, that they are not all Israel who are of Israel, but in Isaac, those who are supernaturally born through baptism, just like Isaac was supernaturally born, are the true Israel. That's where it has to begin. Otherwise, we're not going to get anywhere. And that the chosen people are not the Jews, the enemies of the cross, as St. Paul says. As St. Paul also says, they're contrary to all men, forbidding us to preach the gospel. Well, they're burning New Testaments in Israel. That the chosen people are those that have received the forgiveness that Jesus Christ offers all peoples that make up the church, the true Israel God. It has to begin there to re-educate these Zionist Christians to really know how to understand the Bible.
We've got a caller who has a question for you. It would have to be quick because we've only got 4 minutes here. If Philip's still on, he can make a quick comment or ask a quick question to Brother Nathaniel.
Thanks for taking the call. Brother Nathaniel, I saw that you were quoted extensively in an article on E. Michael Jones' website called CultureWars.com. It was an article titled Rabbinical Despotism. And what it was a critique of this film by the Coen brothers called A Serious Man, which was a film about Jewish life in Minnesota. And one of the things, I don't know if you've seen this film or not, but I mean...
No, I haven't, but I did an interview with E. Michael Jones. We're good friends.
Okay. If you've seen it, basically, the point about the film is it raises exactly the same point that Brother Nathaniel brought up, which is that Judaism really has no serious answers to life's questions. It's about a man whose life falls apart, and he starts going to one rabbi after another looking for advice and for some sort of a answer, and none of the rabbis have an answer. And I just wondered if
it's for the perpetuation of the Jewish race. That's all it is.
Folks, listen, we're out of time. Thank you, Philip, for calling. And Brother Nathaniel, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been absolutely fantastic having you on. And as always, you're dynamic and direct and tell the truth. And, of course, as we talk during the break, we want to hear a lot more from you. Once again, that is the Brother Nathaniel Foundation, which you can find through Real Zionist News. Google it. Brother Nathaniel, thank you for being on the Political Session.
Always a pleasure, Bill. Always.
We'll have you again soon.
Look forward.
We're coming up on our break here. At the top of the hour, we will be taking callers, and I'll be making my comments and observations for the next hour. So stay with us. This is the Political Cesspool. We'll be back after these messages.
In God, I know I'm one.